Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Hello, my name is Luke Condor with a K from the Other Stories. I'm joined by a certain Mr.
Andy Conjurate Turner. Hello, Luke. How you doing?
Man. Yeah, not too bad. So with the craziness of October over, we can finally sort of take a breath and sort of catch up on what the hell's happened. I thought it'd be a good chance to sort of catch up with you and talk about The Nest, if that's all right with you.
Of course.
Okay, so The Nest, 4 writers, 4 narrators, and then some buffoon called Luke jumping in the end there. One incredibly overworked audio editor, music and art and everything all over with. Maybe the biggest collaboration we've ever done. So, Andy, you were one of the writers, showrunner sort of, getting involved on that side of it as well. How do you feel? Was it worth it?
It was great. I am so pleased with how it came out. All the narrators and Carl and working with the writers, everyone having seen our group chats has been very inspiring to see everyone really pulling together, people putting in time wherever they are in the world, all kinds of hours, to look at things, check things several times, little notes here and there. Yeah, it's been phenomenal effort, but it's been so worth it listening back to it and seeing the response as well has been super positive.
Yeah, I got an email this morning from one of our patrons, David Talbot. A random email out of nowhere. He said, "The Nest was amazing. Loved every minute of it. It was fantastic. Keep them coming. Best podcast out there." Thanks, David, for emailing that. So, I mean, like, the response has been kind of really lovely. And it feels like it's almost like a present to our listeners. More than like an outreach to new listeners, it feels like a gift of effort to our regular fans.
Yeah, I would attest to that as well. I think it's been really nice to do it as well. It's whatever hard work it's been, I'm glad people seem to be enjoying it. And I know I see in the Facebook group and, you know, occasional reviews when I look on there as well, how much people seem to enjoy the stories. And I'm loving that people are saying it's some of the best work we've done for a while. I would certainly like to do more stuff like this.
Yeah, maybe we look at doing like a sequel or something. Would you do a sequel next year or something different?
I would be happy with either. I think with sequels I'm always cautious of, you want it to be worth doing a sequel rather than, you know, just something that never quite meets up to the original. I think if the story framework was there, where if there was somewhere we could take the either the characters or the location or even the monster, then I would certainly entertain the idea of a sequel. But otherwise, I'd be happy to do something with a similar structure but an entirely new story as well. I think there's a lot of merits to both.
I mean, so The Nest is sort of very heavily inspired by 80s pop culture and horror culture. Were there sort of any key inspirations for you guys going into the writing?
I think it depends. I think all of the guys are going to have different inspirations. I think we were very mindful of how popular shows like Stranger Things are right now. Whether that was an inspiration for what we did or something we wanted to make sure we didn't fall down the exact same lines and tropes of, will be down to the individual. I was aware of really going back a little bit further. I wanted to have the sense of adventure and the kind of mismatch group that you would see from things I had growing up, like the Monster Squad, like the Goonies, like that, those type of little horror and adventure outings are really what inspired me, certainly with the dynamics between the characters. And I really wanted us to have characters that wouldn't necessarily all fit together, that had something different about each of them. Really, so there's, I think we had a conversation in a Facebook group where our different listeners might see themselves in different ones of the characters as we brought it up there.
Yeah, I mean, so I've kind of watched the production of this mostly sort of from the sidelines. It just felt like you guys were, when did we first start talking about this? It was quite a while ago, right?
Yeah, I would go for it being as early as like early summer, maybe. It first came up. I'm not sure it was Ben or John that mentioned it first, but basically it kind of ballooned from a really early suggestion of, hey, Halloween's always a big time for us. You probably remember better than I do that we did something last Halloween, right? Was it just that we did more episodes or pushed out some some of the classics and highest rated ones? What did we do last year?
So it was a week of like a Halloween week. Every day of the week we had like a classic episode, and then we ended the week with like on Halloween with a special episode from Keelan Patrick Burke. But this year it felt like we needed to sort of do something bigger in a way.
Yeah, and it was, I think, mission accomplished. It was certainly an achievement to see a fresh episode coming out every day of the week. But yeah, that's where it all started. One of the guys mentioned, hey, Halloween's coming up. It's one of our big events of the year. So can we write something special and maybe team up to collaborate on a story a little bit more directly? Because, of course, regular episodes, we have a little bit of crossover, right? But primarily it's one writer, one narrator, and of course Carl ever present in pulling all the audio together. But it was really nice and rewarding to actually have us all working together on a shared goal, and it was like a super collaborative project. So I know that, I'm sure the guys will correct me if I'm misplacing any credit here, but as far as I recall, Ben was the one that came up with kind of the overarching concept of what he wanted to put together. And I think Ben had the vision of the monster that's behind the nest as well. And then we started talking visuals all together. And then John went away and did some work on the characters, kind of a little character Bible came together. And then the story beats of the main events of each one of the chapters. And then the four of us kind of all put our hands up and said which character we wanted. I think it's everyone was very polite, and I don't think there's a single offer that went out there of, oh, I'd like to take this character, unless anyone else wants it, of course, because then I will fall on my sword and you can take it. But we got those characters shared out, and then we put them together. We each wrote that chapter independently at first, and then we shared it with each other so we could have a note and understand where the crossover was going to come in. So where one character featured another, we all had a lot of input with each other on what that character would sound like and how they might react. And then we came to the finale, right, which was a new writing challenge in itself, which we spent a bit of time talking about how we would tackle.
Yeah, I think listening back, there's a kind of the way it keeps switching between perspectives in the final episode, and it sort of ramps up, and you're getting a new narrator every, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, and it gets faster and faster. It felt like the product of a hive mind coming into like perfect synchronization towards that end point. It was really lovely to hear.
Yeah, I'm glad it came off that way. It's certainly what we were intending to do. It was a bit of a challenge when we started, because at first we had a discussion about how we would tackle the finale, and John did some fantastic work again, really beating out what he thought the story might look like towards the end as we escalated towards the end. And then we kind of took a pause and thought, right, how are we going to tackle this and approach it in the first place? And our first thought was, do we each stick with the character we wrote originally and put that together? But of course, then you're quite challenged in that you're having little blocks, especially switching between perspectives. I believe the original story beat kind of switched perspective a lot more than what finally came out. It would have been, I think, about 30 small sections, but then each writer has sections of, you know, 100-200 words almost to try and put that down, which is going to be a challenge. So in the end, we got together and decided that one of us would go through and write the finale in its entirety, kind of using everyone's input and story beats and what they had set up in their chapters. And then the other guys would work through it, and we would kind of work to sand those edges together where the joins were, to make sure that we were all happy with how it finally came out. And luckily, everyone was happy with how it all came out. So we were able to put that together. And I would hope that everyone's characters that they sort of established in their chapters kind of felt consistent and carried on through to the end in that finale, and they were true to how the original writer of said character had voiced them in the beginning. It's certainly something I was conscious of looking at that finale.
So it's kind of amazing when, so I don't know, 5 months ago we started coming up with the ideas for this, and then slowly I saw the stories being written, and then the artwork, and then Ben's design on the artwork, and then the music came. It just seemed to really gel. Well, it seems to come together quicker and quicker, and it was really nice to see, I don't know, something happening from nothing, if that makes sense. Something intangible becoming tangible. It was kind of like magic.
Yeah, it was. And I think for me, it became real when there's a couple of key moments. I think when we first started talking about the monster, the harpy that appears in the story, again, some descriptions, and then it turning from that into some pictures that we sent around each other. I remember Ben pulled out some old the illustrated classics pictures, like, you know, might see from like a Jason and the Argonauts or the Odyssey or something of the creature from some original texts. I pulled out a picture of what's the actor's name who is in Beetlejuice? Not Gina Davis, but the guy is Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he looks completely different.
Alec Baldwin's face, where he stretches his nose out when they're getting ready to prepare the family. That was I posted that in the group as a picture of like the kind of the beak face of there as well. And then for it to disappear, and then Luke Spooner turns these things around incredibly quickly, right? We spoke about it one evening, and then I think the next day Ben had posted some original concept art from Luke in the group there. I think that was a key moment for me of it becoming a real thing. And then I think the next part was, after we'd done all that writing and seeing those letters on a page turn into, when I heard the first previews of the audio. So when I think Persephone was issue one, when we first heard that that first preview, even more so when Carl had put his, you know, his sound magic on there of the sound effects and the background stuff, and some of the stuff he does with the music as well, and just the balance of those things fading in and out as the tension begins to rise. It was great hearing that through.
I think it's some of Carl's best work as well, that he just seems to have really found a groove with this 80s inspired stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's really gone for it. And I think I think that's also testament to how long he's been thinking about that and the stories as well. Like literally when we were talking about in chapter three, I guess, when Isabel goes up to her room, the number of suggestions he had for what type of music is she going to be into? So what's that going to be? And then what's the overall theming going to be of all those pieces? It was great to hear him talk about it and then seeing that come to fruition when you actually heard it on the back of the track. It was really nice to hear. And I think even for me listening back to a chapter I wrote, I know what was written down and what's going to be said. The fact it could still surprise me when I'm hearing the soundscaping and how Jasmine had delivered some of those lines as well, combined with that music, was great to hear.
Yeah. So just some, I wanted to give a shout out to some of the people in the Facebook group who've been talking about it. Maggie Suarez said, "Of course, on the day I finished The Nest, it's super windy in my neighbourhood." She wrote on Halloween. Megan Need wrote, "I was listening to The Nest last night as I baked and decorated school cakes for work. The wind outside, along with something like sticks occasionally hitting the roof, was an extra spooky touch. We didn't plan the sticks to land on your roof, but I'm glad they did." And Tana Schull, who's sort of always getting involved in the Facebook group, nice to hear from you, Tana. "I am loving The Nest so far. The creatures' cries are really neat. I love the glitch sounds in it again, so some of Carl's work. And I think I have an idea of what it looks like, at least in my mind. Still, I'm hanging on a cliff waiting for the next episode," which was part of the design to have these little cliffhangers pulling people through from episode one right to the end. So just a quick shout out to those guys. So it's all done. How do you feel?
I'm really pleased with how it's come out. I'm happy that we've put something together and it's a nice little package and people seem to have enjoyed it. You know, there's a little sadness there as well. Now we've done it, there is kind of a sadness that it's gone and we've left those characters behind, at least for now. That we're not writing more chapters and we're not straight into production on the next, but it's been a great experience. I will certainly be putting my hand up for doing something similar with the guys in the future, because let's face it, as well as it being a fun project, all of them are an absolute delight to work with as well. So and it's great to have those creative discussions as well. Everyone is so positive when they're, you know, they're bouncing ideas around, or even if there's something that they would like to change in a story or feel might work better in a different way. I think we have a very nice group to work with in terms of it, everything always being very, very positive and constructive.
Cool. Lovely. Okay, Matt, is there any sort of final words you want to tell people about? Anywhere you want to send them or anything like that?
I guess for me, if you enjoyed The Nest and you're also into comics, if you're around at what will be this weekend in the UK, in the sort of north of the country, I will be in Harrogate at Thought Bubble, which is one of the largest comic conventions of the year, one of the comic conventions that is mostly focused on comics as well. I will be there, thanks to Luke's organization. I will have a few copies of the Nest, physical copies of the paperback that you'll be able to take home for yourself if you want a physical copy of the story itself, along with some comics that I will be working on with one of my other creative teams I work with, so Horde Comics as well. So we have a horror anthology there. We have issue one of The Revenant, which is a supernatural crime thriller. Hopefully issue two, but we may be pushing it for the print deadline on that one. If that isn't available there, it will be available online shortly afterwards. But yeah, if you enjoy horror, we are just one of what will be hundreds and thousands of incredible comic producers over there as well. So any interest in that type of stuff, I would recommend getting over there. But otherwise, you can catch us all online. You will no doubt see me back on the other stories very soon as well, and back to regular programming for next week, is it, Luke?
That's right, yeah. So next week we're going to go back to the regular themes. We've got Beyond Death and then Masks and then Haunted Art coming up, so it should be fun. But yeah, if you enjoyed the show, if you enjoyed The Nest, you can go and get a signed copy from Andy personally at Thought Bubble. They are available on Amazon now, so you can just grab a standard non-signed copy from there, or you can get an ebook by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver, and that helps us sort of keep the show going and keep doing cool things like The Nest. So hopefully see you on there. But yeah, man, thanks again for doing it. Thanks for getting involved and doing your thing.
No, thanks for having us, and thanks for that epilogue. If there is a follow up, are you gonna play an aged up Frank next time?
Yeah, I think that's the way most films are going now. They sort of take place 20 years later, so maybe I could play the adult Frank, who's who is marrying, who's going out with this harpy girl. I don't know. Who knows, mate? Who knows? You write it, I'll do it.
No spoilers, but yeah, I shall look forward to working on that with you then, Luke.
Cool. All right, guys. Take care. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.